Ezekiel Elliott. And he's got an opening. Elliott off to the races. Can they catch him? No, they can't. Touchdown.
Tie a 3-0 win. It's Sylvester for three. Oh! Oh! With 5.1 to go.
Here's Fields with time in the end zone.
A single season record of 14 set by Vernon Golston in 2000.
8 seconds to go. Kraft with Paolo defending. Now a switch off. He's got Niang on him with three. He better hurry. Puts up the shot. And he hits it with 0.2 seconds to go. Wow.
Inbounds Turner, left side of the backboard. Turner across the timeline, throws it from high on the right.
He hit it, Evan Turner! He hit it just inside of half court!
They go for the ball game! Touchdown! Touchdown! Michael Jenkins on 4th and 1! Would you believe it? Craig Krenzel strikes with 1.5 minutes left! Holy Buckeye!
This is the Bunch of Nuts podcast featuring Dan Smith and Big Cass. Let's get nutty!
Hello and welcome back to a somber episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan. I'm here with Big Cass. Ohio State didn't get it done. We lost convincingly. Bama is just a different animal. Cass, man, I mean, I really have no words. This is more of a therapy session. What are your thoughts on it?
It's hard to explain just how much, like, it doesn't hurt. I'm not mad. I'm highly disappointed. But I do know that one for a fact that Ohio State left it all out there on the field.
Yeah.
I think the coaches can vouch for themselves. I think the coaches, they're also proud. Just everything that Ohio State has been through. Name one other team that has been through as much adversity and drama this season than the Ohio State Buckeyes. There is no other team.
You're absolutely right, Cass. I mean, looking back on the season, I'm grateful. Grateful for everything. It was a fantastic year. I'm always going to remember this season. It was – I'm not saying it was magical because it was stressful. And people, like – I know, like, some Texas A&M fan was like, how is this season stressful? It's – well, not knowing if the number one team that you love is going to be playing week in and week out. It's a burden. I guarantee you a lot of people listening right now, they were stressed. And, I mean, leading up to the game, I didn't have good vibes between – us leading the Tommy Togi I watch, which I thought I saw him down there about 30 times. He was not playing. Tyreek Smith was out. Blake Hallbeal. Mayan Williams.
D'Amico.
DeJuan Jones. So, like, that's a bunch of good people right there. Then the coin toss happens. And when I see Tuff Boylan, dude's huge. We're talking about this before. Dude's huge. We see Landon Dickerson, not even playing, just the size of him compared to Tuff Boylan. I was like, oh, man, they're so much bigger. And then finally, to put the cherry on top, second play of the game, Trey Sermon hurts his collarbone. And then Jerron Cage, who's supposed to be playing for Tokai and Tyreek Smith on the defensive line, he gets hurt pretty quick too. So it was right off the bat.
We lose Wyatt Davis in the second half.
Yeah, it's right off the bat. When stuff happens like that, when you lose the coin toss, when all this bad stuff happens immediately, that's not how you beat Bama. Like, you cannot have any of that happen to beat Bama. And that, unfortunately, that's what happened. And if this happens against, let's say, Northwestern or even like that team up north, that potentially sets you up for like a trap game. If you have guys out, you're starting slow. So it was just a horrible start against Bama, and we just couldn't recover.
Yeah, and I mean, Najee Harris said it best, despite them beating us on the scoreboard, he said Ohio State did their thing. They hit him hard.
Yeah.
And they Ohio State played their hearts out. I think
he averaged Najee Harris averaged 3.6 yards per carry. That is not great for a running back, a D1 running back. He should have, like we were putting hits on him, and you're absolutely right, Cass.
And the thing is, and I think the coaches can vouch for this too, and let's dive right into our first segment of this. And we want to hear answers from Greg Madison and Kerry Combs, but I think the scheme was just off. We were running a 4-4. I know with a lot of guys being down, just really hurt, and then we're just
We looked lost.
Yeah, they looked lost. My thing, we threw everything and everyone at Devontae Smith, and he just completely owned us.
Yeah, let's.
I mean, the one particular play that I can think of the top of my head is when Williamson. Okay, just totally
left Borland.
Left Borland on an island, and poor tough Borland had to cover the Heisman Trophy winner by himself, and then of course everybody's trashing Borland,
which is not fair.
What I don't understand is this narrative of Sean Wade getting trashed. Yes, he forgot to hit the R2 button on that one.
Sean Wade actually played a good game. I went back and looked at it. He had two pass breakups, a tackle for loss. Yeah, he gave up some. The one touchdown, that was lazy, but also the game was kind of out of reach. But I expected a better effort. But other than that, I thought he had a very good first half.
He had a pretty good game, and like I explained to everybody, it was the scheme of the defense that Kerry Combs drew up. And I will mark this down, and Lathan Ransom is going to be a beast. Give him some time. He's a young guy. I can't wait to see what he can do in the future. But I will tell you right now, if we had Jordan Fuller, which was our best safety since Mike Doss, I don't care what anybody says, Bama doesn't score 52 points because Jordan Fuller said this, where is number 6? I am following his ass. That's the problem. Number one problem I had with Ohio State was we didn't have one guy say, where is number 6? And I'm on his ass.
If you're a safety too, like the play that Marcus Williamson did it, well, I don't know why Marcus Williamson was even playing safety. I would have liked to see. I don't know why we didn't put Marcus Hooker out there, because I thought, yes, Marcus Hooker has taken terrible angles, but I feel like Marcus Hooker would have been perfect for that game for some reason. I don't know why.
And Josh Proctor, you can't go in for the kill shot against Bama. You actually have to wrap up.
Proctor played all right.
He was in position. He just needed to stop going in. He does this even getting on against non-teams like Bama. Going in for the kill shot.
What, dude? I mean, if we're being real here, the one who really got picked on was Seven Banks. If you go back and watch the film, the first like three drives, they kept throwing to Devontae Smith and everyone on Seven Banks' side. Jaylen Waddle, that big first down, that was on Seven Banks. All the big plays that happened early through the air were Seven Banks.
And here's the thing. All the big plays came from the slot receiver, not the outside receivers.
Yeah. Bama's offense was clear as day. They were just throwing these quick routes.
And this notation that Mac Jones is just this dominant quarterback, the dude can't throw more than 20 yards.
Actually. No, he was not.
He was good, but he was getting it to Devontae Smith.
It's easy. Yeah. It's easy to complete passes when your guys are wide open, you know, two to five yards down the field. And it's just a nice little dump off, and they're running for like 20 yards every time. And because they're getting great blocking, we're cheating deep. We're like our defense is pulling back. They're already bailing. It's crazy. If you watch, they were so fearful of a deep shot that they were immediately, our corners were immediately turning their hips and bailing, which allows then these receivers to just basically cut earlier and the quarterbacks to hit them on the run. And it's a huge game every time. And it's not like that we weren't aware of this, because every Ohio State media outlet, I'm sure every coach explain this to the players. And I don't know what either the scheme or the players. It just was awful.
I feel like it was the scheme. I really do. The game plan was just bad. The linebackers played their hearts out.
I have no problem with the effort from the linebackers.
I have no problem with the effort from the DBs either. You get a scheme that's not working, but you thought it was working. These guys are still out there trying to play it.
The biggest thing it came down to was these guys on Bama, they were bigger, faster, stronger. Our guys were – I mean, we forced a couple fourth downs. We were giving a good effort, and they were still – you know, fourth and one, fourth and two, they would run it up the gut and get the push every time.
We made Bama earn all 52 points, let me tell you. Because if you look at it, all their drives were long.
They were.
In the time of the possession was completely, like, I barely saw the offense, I felt like. And so if we flip on the offensive side.
Yeah, let's go to the offense because I had no problem with the offensive performance. It wasn't that bad. It's just we didn't have enough touches on offense.
We lost guys. We lost Wyatt Davis. We lost
Trey Sermon.
And you could throw Mayan Williams in there. Master Teague had a good half.
He did. I would have liked, though, losing Mayan Williams, I think, especially after what we saw him do against Clemson, I think we lost a big opportunity to watch a Mayan Williams breakout performance this game. I feel like the nation was robbed of that.
What is Crowley doing? He looked lost out there.
We haven't seen Marcus Crowley all season, and then they throw him
out. He looked really lost.
I don't think they did him justice by doing that. But, I mean, man, offense.
They did rob Jackson Smith and Jigba a touchdown. I will say that.
Chris Olave scored that one. His foot was down. I don't know what they were looking at.
And I think and Smith and Jigba's touchdown too. Like they robbed him.
Julian Fleming needs to catch the ball. That's a whole different issue.
You could tell Justin Fields was still hurt. There's no way he was 95%. Losing Sermon, just our offense. Was, you know, Jeremy Rucker took a shot and he wasn't the same since.
I mean, he played good, though,
The whole offense, I thought, played pretty well. I had no issues with the offense.
No, really, no complaint. I mean, literally, the issue was the defense. The defense, they scored on every drive. They scored on every drive but three. The one where Baron Browning basically did it all himself, the forced fumble, the recovery, and we forced two garbage time punts, basically.
Yeah, and the thing is Alabama's defense averaged like just a little over 16 points a game. We scored 24. We scored an extra 8 points. So we did our job on offense.
I wouldn't say we did our job, but
we did enough.
If
for what we had when it came to the time of possession.
Yeah, it's. I mean, Ohio State would have literally had to score a touchdown every drive if. The way this game played, if to win. So it's, you can't ask your offense to do that. Even if, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the Texas Tech Pat Mahomes offense. You can't expect your offense every time to be a championship team. That's just not going to happen. My only other critique of offense was just, I would have liked to see a receiver make a big play other than the Garrett Wilson touchdown. Olave was fairly, you know, he didn't really, usually he's due for a nice bomb.
I thought he owned Patrick Surtain. If you look at the tape, his route running, his crisp. Yeah, he didn't have that long, deep. I don't even think they took a shot to.
No.
And that's the thing. I think every route that Olave ran against Patrick Surtain, if you want to talk about DB look bad, Patrick Surtain, the other All-American, did look just as bad as Sean Wade if you want to look at it.
Like the one they're giving – people are giving Sean Wade crap, the one where, like, he was turned around, Devontae Smith made the catch on the sideline. It wasn't that bad, though. It was just – he made a good catch. It happens. It's
– thing is, yes, Alabama destroyed Ohio State. Alabama on the scoreboard. But if you look at the film, why isn't Patrick Surtain getting ripped up and down the other for his play against Chris Olave?
Yeah,
that's my biggest issue.
It was just a weird game. It was
really weird. As much as I love seeing Jordan Battle get ejected.
I was hyped.
I was also felt his pain because the dude knew he messed up, and you could see it how much that meant to him on the sideline. I've never seen a dude just bawl his eyes out on the sideline because he made a dick move that cost him the game. Luckily, at the time, it was like 14-14 or something like that.
Yeah.
And I get it.
I really thought when that happened, I thought we were going to win there. I thought that was like the Sean Wade play against Clemson. I was like, oh, we're going to get a defensive stop now. We're going to figure it out. And none of that happened. I mean, Cass, I thought the part of the game that really changed everything. And I don't have a problem with Ryan Day with this call when it was fourth down, we're in the red zone.
Two.
We kicked the field goal. I didn't mind that at the time because I was thinking we're going to stop them on defense. Yeah. If I knew we were going to give up 52 points.
That's the thing. Everybody's ripping Ryan Day for that. Yeah, you could rip him now, but honestly, at the time, it was the right call.
Cut it to a four-point game.
He was trusting his defense.
Yeah, cut it to a four-point game. Defense gets the ball, gets you the ball back. Go down, take the lead before halftime. That's what he was going for, I think. And I have no problem with that call. It was just defense couldn't stop,
The fourth down call, where it was fourth and two, we rush it, and the dude just made a great play for Alabama. Mm. I felt like it should have been a read option instead of a stretch play.
That too, yeah.
I think if it was a read option, we got the first down, and that takes an Alabama touchdown away.
That, and I will say the first drive of the game, we came out so nervous and slow that if we get the ball first and you go three and out, that's always a horrible way to start the game. Yeah. Not on top of Trey Sermon literally getting knocked out. So offensively, I give it like a B-, B. It wasn't not a championship.
I'll give it a B. I'll give it a B because there wasn't a time where we could extend drives. I mean, if we were able to extend drives, that would have been better. Defense, I forgot to give a grade for defense. Defense, I'm giving a C-.
I'm giving them a D.
A C-, just because I think the effort that they played with was there. It's just the scheme was just terrible. Special teams.
Let's get into special teams. I thought special teams was honestly not bad at all, Cass. No. Seibert came in.
I think Jake Seibert gets an A+.
And Seibert was great. I'm stoked. I mean, to come in a national championship game, make all of your extra points, a field goal, kickoffs were not bad. I thought he played great.
Crispin kicked off.
Yeah. Crispin did good too. I mean, Crispin had – I wrote it down. I think he had five punts for about 250 yards.
And I'm glad that DeMario McCall called fair catch on every kickoff.
DeMario didn't even try to return one. I'm honestly kind of bummed he didn't try to return one. That's my one critique. Jamison Williams, the juice man, had a really nice punt cover on the first punt.
Covered Devontae Smith pretty well in the coverage.
Devontae Smith had one punt. He had the best return out of both teams on the day. He had a long of 19 yards. That was the only thing that was given up in the kicking game all day. It was a 19-yard punt return. That was it.
I give the special teams an A.
Yeah, special teams killed it. I mean, I have literally no complaints about special teams. Just DeMario McCall, I would like to see maybe return one. I mean, what DeMario McCall, I love him, but like, if your one job is to return the kicks, he just looks so like unenthused back there returning that. Like he wouldn't even go like catch it in the end zone. He just walks away from it. I don't know if he's coached to do that.
A guy at work said, "Who's the biggest bust in the since 2010? Who's the biggest bust recruit Ohio State's ever had? DeMario McCall or Dontre Wilson, aka Dontre Willis?" And I was like,
Tate Martell.
Tate Martell, obviously. For
Tate
sure.
Martell.
And he's like, "Doesn't DeMario McCall remind you of Dontre Willis?" Just because they both were supposed to be the next coming, like the next Percy Harvin. Mm. But they never panned out. I'm still waiting for DeMario McCall to break out. So hopefully, I don't know what's going on. yes, we lost, but let's reflect on the season.
Now. Yeah.
Let's start some positive. Let's finish this year with some positive. Next week, our awards show. Can't wait for that. But let's just reflect on the season, man. Like, we started off no season at all. Oh, no. We started off camp. Doing well. We just start pads for one day. They cancel that. Then they cancel the season. We go down to the shoe, meet these 10-star parents who've just fought in Buckeye and half, you know, not even half of Buckeye Nation, but some people from the diehards of Buckeye Nation, yeah. I would say. And I don't care. The Buckeye guy, where have you been? You say you're a diehard Buckeye. We haven't seen you anywhere.
I think he was at the game, actually.
I didn't see him. But we fought. We went to the shoot. We fought with the parents. Big Ten season comes back. And this is what made it really stressful. And I don't care what A&M and where people say, oh, how could it have been stressful? The fact that every week, there was always the unknown. Who has COVID? Who had COVID? Did anybody test positive? We're having a game. Maryland cancels. Okay. You know, we beat Nebraska. We beat Penn State. We beat Rutgers. Maryland cancels. Oh, that's fine. We could still have a shot to go to the Big Ten championship. Go 7-0. Okay. Boom.
Then Illinois.
Then we get COVID. We have to cancel Illinois to prevent us from canceling multiple games. We go down short, head coach and multiple players. Beat the crap out of Michigan State with Larry Johnson as our head coach. And guess what? Michigan cancels. Big Ten revamps the rules. Ohio State gets allowed to be in the Big Ten title. Indiana whines and cries because, yes, we have the tiebreaker over Indiana. We get in the Big Ten championship with Noah Olave and multiple guys. We win. Hard-fought victory. And then, boom, we get in the Sugar Bowl. Dabo ranks us 11. We're not supposed to be there. Oh, Texas A&M, even 3-loss Florida deserves to be in there over Ohio State. Oh, by the way, what did we do? We kicked the dog snot out of Clemson with no guys. We might have had a few guys out. Oh, Barry Miller out with COVID. Boom, we go to play Alabama. We're out our two best pass rushers, Tyreek Smith and Tommy Togiai. We're out DeJuan Jones. We're out in what could be a star running back in Mayan Williams. By the way, Dan and I, we know people that know people around the Buckeye program. So us getting 50 random DMs from people is exhausting. This season was so exhausting. It felt like we played 16 games.
It was, don't get me wrong, it was a fun season. I loved every second of it. It's just, I'm excited to just take a step back. And I think Ryan Day and the team feels like this too. They're ready to just get back to life for a few months. And I think we all deserve it. Just let's, you know, get back. We're going to grow from this. The podcast is going to grow. I know Ryan Day and them, they're going to find ways to improve the roster. I'm sure Ryan Day is going to look to find ways to recruit where we're not going to be oversized against a team like Bama anymore. Cause that's what it came down to. They were just bigger, faster, stronger than us. And Ohio State, that never happens. That was the first time that I've seen us on a football field where they've been bigger, faster, stronger. When we played Clemson in 2016, they beat us 31-0. I didn't think they were bigger, faster, and stronger. I just thought we just stunk on offense and we were just making horrible choices. But this game, Alabama was just clearly better. There's no, I can live with this because, like I said earlier in the season, I can live with us getting absolutely destroyed by a team like Purdue or Iowa. I can't live with us not getting a shot, and I'm just happy we got a shot. That's all we asked for. That's all that this team is preaching with Ryan Day and all of them. They just wanted one shot, and you know what? We didn't get to the top of the mountain, but we came pretty damn close. We got to the summit. We enjoy our view. Like,
yeah, we made it there when we weren't supposed to. We didn't have a, like I said, we didn't have a season for a month and a half. I will tell you, Alabama's game shape. I think they maybe had COVID problems. Nick Saban had COVID problems, but they maybe had one game that got canceled or something, like LSU, the LSU game. Alabama, everybody came back for one mission, and that was to win the national championship.
Yeah.
They wanted that game bad. I wouldn't say they were bigger, faster, or stronger. Yeah, it may look that way, but think about it. We were out a lot of guys. We were out two of our best pass rushers. A lot of guys dropped to injury. Our best, in my opinion, our best corner, I was out for the season from his torn Achilles against Penn State. So,
yeah.
Be right there again. Guess
we
what?
Are.
We have a chance to go to Indy twice next year.
And I'll say, yeah, we do. We know Harbaugh's going to neither. But, I mean, this begs the question, is this the end for Saban? Because I've been hearing rumors that he might retire after this. I hope so, too. I mean, look, if...
What else does he have to prove? I like the guy. He's a hell of a coach. I respect... I honestly could sit here as much as we could say we want Bama and all this. I haven't really ever said I hate Bama. I have never really ever said that.
No,
I don't like their fans. I mean, I got a Facebook messenger from a guy where I went on the Alabama Facebook chat and said, "Congratulations, you guys earned it. You are clearly the best team in the country." Which, by the way, I said 2 months ago that Alabama is going to be tough. They are the best team in the country by far. Mm-hmm. And I said that. So this dude, Rick Jones is his name, redneck hillbilly, texts me and says, "We owned your ass." Nick Jones passed all over you. David Smith was a monster. Najee Harrison ran all over you. One, if you're going to talk trash, make sure you know your players' names.
I will say this. The win for Bama did not come easy because all their players, a lot of their players left that game hurt. A lot of them.
Surgery today on his wrist.
Yeah. I also like to point out, for those listening, at halftime, I was trying to pull out all the stops in the book. I literally pricked my finger and started like, I'm freaking crazy. I pricked my finger, Cass. You can see it. It's healed. I took a thumbtack. I sanitized it with wipes, pricked my finger to get blood, and I started putting my blood in the fire. I'm like, we need something. Yeah, you have the thumbtack. I was just like, we need something. We need something. I like to point out, and I apologize, Devonta Smith, but the thumb that he hurt, I did this after I pricked my thumb. All right, I pricked my thumb, put it in the fire. I'm not one who's that dabbles in voodoo magic, but this D. Smith pricked his thumb. Suddenly, after I did that, a few plays after, Devonta Smith hurts his thumb.
Listen, if the score wasn't 35-14 at halftime, and then Devonta Smith gives out, I think Ohio State had a shot.
I was getting texts that Dan, you might have done it. Like, people were like, you did it, Dan. Like, you gave us a shot. And then our defense just said, nope, 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 not one bit. So, I mean, I feel like I did my job, like, with the good juju, but it just wasn't meant to be, which is a good thing, though, because if you're going to sell your soul to the devil, like, technically he did not uphold his end of the bargain, so I still have my soul. So this is good. Like he doesn't have my soul. So it's fine. It's fine.
So let's take a look into a little bit of the future here. We've been hearing rumblings about Thayer Munford, Pascal Garrett, Sean Wade, guys possibly staying. Is there a chance that these guys can pull Alabama and all of them come back? Now, here's before we get into it, Justin Fields, Mel Kiper and Todd McShay say he needs to come. He needs to stay one per year.
So I did the math on this, by the way. I did the math. Hold on. Yeah. I'm so happy you brought this up. I did the math. So, all right. So, I'm excited because this is what I'm learning in my class too. So I based the contracts off of Joe Burrow's contract and Chase Young's, because those are the most recent NFL contracts for number one overall and number two overall. If Justin Fields were to go second overall in this year, the few, and like based on, I'm not obviously breaking down state income tax and all that because that just gets too crazy. I was just basing off of the money, like the future value based on like a 5% rate of return, because that's normal. Basically, if Justin Fields goes first overall next year, as opposed to going second overall to the Jets this year, he would make about $100,000 more if he goes second overall this year. So, like, if he goes second overall, there's no point of him staying. But if he goes 15 overall, like, there's some people
are projecting,
which is possible. He could go anywhere from 2 to 15. He would make about $16.7 million. Meanwhile, if he goes first overall, he would make about $38 million next in 2 years. So, I mean, the difference is about $21 million. So,
thing is he comes from a wealthy family. Is, you know, he doesn't need the money, but he's a winner and a warrior. My thing is, do some, these guys decide, hey, you know, we're allowed to have this extra year? But a lot of them are already going to, which shockingly, they're being rumored. He's already going to the Senior Bowl, but he could also pull the plug on that. These guys could pull the plug on that and say, hey, you know, I decide to go and stay in college because of that extra eligibility that they're giving them. Which you can lose scholarships that way with the new guys coming in.
It's like, all right, let's go through this.
Could you see these guys pulling a Bama and say, hey, we can't go out like this?
I honestly, bro, like my heart's like, yeah, absolutely. My head, no. What? Like
Justin Fields is not going.
Justin Fields is definitely coming back. I don't care what Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, Dan Orlovsky say. He gone. If he comes back, I will build that man a shrine. But
to say this before we get more in depth, at least I don't have to jump in the Olentangy.
That is good. Good for you. Yeah, it's. I mean, he owes us nothing. Yeah. Wyatt Davis owes us nothing. I don't know why Sean Wade would even return. I don't know why people are saying Sean Wade would return.
Well, his draft stock is dropping.
But, I mean, this would be like his 50th year. What's the point of staying in college if you're not even going to try to get like a – I don't know his situation. I don't know if he's going to try to get like a master's degree or like a PhD or I don't know how –
I don't know how much
he cares about that. He already has his degree. But
here's also the opportunity. A lot of these guys don't want to go out like that. I mean, that's why Bama players say, hey, we're not going to settle for a Citrus Bowl win over Michigan. We're going to go back and we'll go and win an Natty. I mean that's probably what they're doing. Now, here's my take on here. If Justin Fields goes pro, so does Chris Olave. These two are a pair. Yeah. I guarantee if Justin Fields stays, Chris Olave is going to stay. That's my guarantee. But guess what? We're not going to see either one of those two again in the Scarlet and Gray uniform.
No.
They don't owe us anything. They balled out against Clemson. They played pretty well against Alabama. Guess what? It's either Jack Miller or C.J. Stroud, which give us a few weeks because next week's our award show. Then we're taking a couple weeks off. And then by then, spring ball should be getting ready to start. FCS teams.
I'm talking about
the spring,
yeah.
Like Ohio State spring practice and stuff like that. So we could go in depth because by then we'll know who's staying and who's not staying.
I mean, my prediction is I think Haskell Garrett will be back. I think Togi Ai will be back. I think Tyreek Smith will be back. I think our defensive line will be back. And
I think Sean Wade will be back.
I don't think Sean Wade will be back. I think Sean Wade will be gone. I find that hard to believe that he would be back. He was so quick to opt out too, and he was. I mean, he was base. He's been basically on the fence since last year. Getting him this year was just great. And I know people, I feel bad for Sean Wade because I feel like people didn't really appreciate him. He actually, I thought, had a pretty good season this year.
He was an All-American.
He was All-American, pick six against Indiana, had another interception. I think it was like Michigan State or someone.
We'll dive into a projection of depth chart here in the next month or so, and because we'll know by then.
All I'm saying is don't get your hopes up, Buckeye Nation.
No,
let's use our common sense here. Regardless of who leaves, we will reload. We got the talent. I'm not too worried. But Fields is gone. Fields is gone.
If
Olave and Fields are gone. Don't let some random message board convince you otherwise.
One thing I will say is thank you to those guys. They brought a lot of memories. I mean, can't wait to see what they do in the pros. I really can't.
I hope they get drafted to the same team. I really do. They deserve to be together forever.
Do Olave and Fields?
Yeah, they do. They deserve each other.
What if – let's go with this news. Urban Meyer is now the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I know. We were thinking about leading with this, but obviously we had to talk about the game. But, yeah, Urban Meyer, I'm stoked.
I'm a diehard Jacksonville Jaguars fan since 2021. You heard it here. My second favorite team now is the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Same.
I can't wait. Could you see Urban Meyer pulling the plug and drafting Justin Fields number one overall? I highly doubt it.
I could see him taking Sean Wade in the first, because they have a later pick in the first round. I think he would take Sean Wade there, because Sean Wade's from Jacksonville.
What about this guy right here?
Dwayne?
Anybody could turn Dwayne Haskins around, it would be Urban Meyer.
It would. It would be. And I think that's the perfect spot for him.
And Jacksonville could be smart about this. Oh, we got the number one overall pick. We already have another pick later in the draft. Hey, let's trade this pick, trade down, get two other picks, because some dumbass team, let's see, the Chicago Bears could draft Trevor Lawrence, and the Jaguars say, hey, we'll take another draft. We'll take your first round next year and your first round this year. And they can draft Wyatt Davis at number 17.
That's a tough sell, though, bro. Trevor Lawrence is projected to be a once-in-a-generation quarterback. They're taking Trevor Lawrence. They're doing the smart thing. I love Dwayne. I would love to see that. I would love to see Urban with Dwayne. I could see him signing him to, like, the practice squad and trying to continue to develop him.
We did hear one thing, though. Mickey Marotti and some other – they haven't named him yet, but Mickey Marotti and other guy assistants are not going to the pros.
No, I mean, realistically, the only one we'd ever really have to worry about is Corey Dennis, because that's his daughter's that's family. That's family for him. Yeah. So I could see him taking Corey eventually, which
– Wait, he's not even – I don't think he's ready yet.
I mean, he could be ready. It's really up to Urban and them. That's the only one that makes sense. I don't know why you would take Mickey Marotti, because Mickey Marotti, like, is a college strength training coach. What is Pantone going to do, though? Because it's
evaluate talent. I mean,
like, the job they would have to offer Pantone is basically like assistant GM or GM.
Yeah,
that's the only thing he could really do. But being like what Marotti and Pantone do. They do that for college. NFL is completely different.
Yeah, and
like that's funny.
Dissertation that, oh, I thought he had a cyst. I thought he had a heart problem. Look, after February, coaches get a break for a while. They get breaks in the NFL, coaches do. They don't in college.
No. And you also forget too, they don't have to recruit these guys. The GMs do it for themselves. We know one thing about Urban. He loves X's and O's. He just loves coaching football. This is a perfect gig for him. It's home near Jacksonville. He's going to be able to just coach football. There's no BS politics. There's no what's his name? The President Drake and all this stuff. Like, he's just going to – Shot Khan's giving Urban a blank check and he's just going to be like, hey, can you get us to, like, a wild card here or there? And that's all he really has to do. Urban wins 9-10 games in Jacksonville consistently.
By the way, he's in a winnable division too.
Yeah, it's not – I mean, the Texans
are – Hey, what if this happens? Because Deshaun Watson wants out of Houston. Houston don't have a first-round pick this year.
I don't think they – I would rather have Trevor Lawrence, to be honest. Because here's the thing. Because Trevor Lawrence, he gets the rookie contract scale. So he's on the rookie contract, which means you could spend more money elsewhere on the team.
Also has $78 million.
Yeah. I mean, they're set up nicely. It's – Jaguars are going to be good. The AFC South is kind of becoming the Buckeye division between Vrabel and Meyer too. That's going to be kind of cool to watch.
So, oh, by the way, you think Tim Tebow could be pulled on that staff as like a counselor or something?
He'll get lumped in somewhere.
Definitely not quarterback's coach.
It'll probably be like running back's coach or something. I don't know.
Speaking of running backs, coach, let's switch it back to the college game. Former All-American running back Mike Hart has left Indiana to go to a team up north, back where he's home, and people are jumping for joy because Harbaugh is actually doing something up there. But just because you're adding coaches doesn't mean diddly squat.
He's 0-9. Mike Hart's like 0-9 against Ohio State, I think. Something ridiculous. So it's so on brand.
He's 0-4.
It's so on brand. It's so on brand. But I mean, we'll see what happens. I'm not even concerned about that team up north right now. They're the last thing on my mind, to be honest. But yeah, man. I mean,
so
any final thoughts?
Not really. Next week's show, let's break down the categories. So, and we'll put them up on Twitter. We'll have the fan votes. There will be fan votes like every year.
We have biggest hit of the year. That's always that's a popular one.
I think this year, I don't think have we done team MVP.
No,
this year we're gonna add that.
Okay, we'll do team MVP.
The nominees will be Haskell Garrett, Justin Fields. Who'll be a third? Pete Warner?
Sermon.
Through the whole year, though. You got to think.
Sermon. I'm putting Sermon on there. Absolutely.
He had three good games. That was it. That was half the season, so.
It was half the season. Those are three really good games, though.
Let me tell you, we could put best performance Sermon. I think we should just do two-headed MVP, Justin Fields or Haskell Garrett.
We got Tweet of the Year. We're going to have the Tennessee Jeff Memorial Fan of the Year Award. We have a ton of them. We'll tweet them all out. We'll tweet out the nominations.
Chugs. For the fan of the year, the Tennessee Jeff fan of the year, because Tennessee Jeff is
eliminated. A new award. The insider of the year. All right, so I'm making this right now. It goes to the guys with all the scoops. So like my three nominees are obviously Chugs. Chugs number one. I got Sir Yacht, and I got the Vada Buck. All right, those three. They always have the scoops. They might not be right. They might be wrong, but they got some type of scoops. Those are my three. The Scoop of the Year Award, those three guys. The
Weirdo Fan of the Year goes to Eric, a.k.a. V, because I feel like they're the same.
Yeah. V's our boy, though. No, V's yeah. Not Eric. Eric was weird, and I'm glad we found out that he was like DM everyone. V's cool. V's legit.
I know, I'm just kidding.
Don't slander my boy V.
No, but Twitter fan of the year, our Twitter fan of the year,
Bob.
I think Jordan.
Joe Jordan. Yeah. Our boy Jordan. Yeah. Twitter fan. Yeah, we got some good ones. So excited.
We love our award show every year. We really do. By the way, the Tennessee Jeff Nut of the Year, it can't be Tennessee Jeff anymore. He'd win it every year, if anything. So.
He asked us specifically at the rally not to be associated with the award. Well, at least not to be nominated for. He said, I don't want the award. I'm like, okay, well, you're still going to be – we're still naming after you, but we won't give it to you. So
he actually chuckled about that, though, at least.
Yeah, he chuckled, but
I don't know. We almost got to throw Jeff Snook in there as an insider.
Yeah.
Because he's already an insider. What are you talking about?
Nah, I don't know. But, I mean, any other thoughts, Cass?
Basketball team had two big wins this year, this week against Rutgers on the road and beat Northwestern last night. And Blue Jackets are back. And
that's it.
We got to finish like we always do, our NFL version of the stupid picks. By the way, the meme that was going out that I sent everybody, the Browns won. What did you have to sacrifice? The Buckeyes losing.
Yeah, the Browns winning cost the Buckeyes. It's true. I'm convinced of it. But all right, first game of the weekend. 4:35 Saturday. We got Packers versus Rams. Who you got?
Green Bay's a 6.5-point favorite in January in Green Bay. Rams defense, though, it all depends on what Jalen Ramsey does to Davante Adams, but it's still Aaron Rodgers. Give me the Pack.
I got the Packers. Absolutely. Then we got Saturday night game. Ravens versus Bills.
Supposed to snow.
I got the Ravens.
Give me the Bills. I think the way that the Bills got this swagger to them right now.
Well, I think if it's snowing, the Ravens could run the ball. So I'm going to go with the Ravens on this one.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, the Browns. I can't believe I'm saying it. The Browns at the Chiefs. And you know what? Just because Browns fans are getting on my nerves – I'm going to pick the Browns to win this game just because if I pick the Browns, that means they're going to lose, and I hate the Browns.
There's no reason why the Browns should win this. Zero reason. The Chiefs are better in every facet, I think, other than running the ball. But for some reason, there's something magical about the Browns. There's something that just screams, they're going to do it. They're going to be the team that beats the Chiefs. And they're going to go to the AFC Championship game and lose, but they're going to beat the Chiefs, and it's going to be amazing. So I got the Browns.
All right. Tom Brady and Drew Brees in New Orleans on the History Channel. Not really, it's on Fox. I'm just saying these two.
The final battle. People are calling it.
I kind of hope it's the final battle. But you know what? The way Tampa is playing right now, with the weapons and everything. Who's going to cover Antonio Brown, Gronk, Godwin, Mike Evans? Leonard Fournette's playing very, very well. Give me Tampa.
I got Tampa, too. The Saints have beaten them twice this year. It's very hard to beat a team three times. And Drew Brees is not super healthy right now. They can't throw the ball deep. I'm not saying the Buccaneers are good at throwing the ball deep, but they've tried. It's something that they've really tried to work on this year for some reason. Because usually with Tom Brady, you go with the Alabama Steve Sarkisian offense where you just dump it off to 5 yards, 5-yard passes to death. Well, I got the Buccaneers too, Cass.
Yeah, I think if New Orleans is able to run the football and control the clock, keep Tom Brady off, it's over.
Yeah,
it's going to have to have another Christmas Day game.
So, I mean, those are our picks. I like them. I feel good about them. What about you, Cass?
I like them. I like the Bills. I know that's the only game we have different. I like the Bills just because they're playing with a swag right now. And mean, I'd love to see the Bills go to the Super Bowl. Here's why. I want the Bills and the Packers to go to the Super Bowl. Because at our Super Bowl parties, we line up foods that go relate to these cities. Buffalo wings and cheese curds at the Bills and Packers go to the Super Bowl. Simple enough. Last year we had
Kansas City barbecue.
And I forget what we had for San Francisco, but
gluten-free pistachios.
Rice-a-roni.
Yeah, something stupid. Kiona, something stupid.
I think Mom brought a Giannetti. I think it's called Giannetti chocolate. It's real famous out there. Starts with a G.
Giardelli?
Yes, that is it. I'm sorry.
Did you call it Giannetti?
Yes.
Giardelli's not even close to what?
It's been a long week.
Oh my god.
It's been a long week. Get me some slack here.
That is hilarious. That's an all-time clip. that's hilarious. We gotta end it there, man. Any other final thoughts?
No. Go Buckeyes if they play this weekend, and go Blue Jackets tonight. Hopefully they're going to play, and really we're getting the deep heart and deeds now. Football season's over. We'll do our award show and take a couple weeks off and try to work maybe some guests, because what do we do in the off season? We try to bring on guests. So
get legends. Maybe we'll get Justin Fields. Who knows? But
maybe I can talk to Randy Wade to get Sean Wade on.
Maybe we'll see. But as always, everyone, thanks for listening. Buckeye Nation, thank you for a great football season. It was really – I'm just happy we had a season. I'm grateful. I woke up grateful on Tuesday morning, believe it or not. I think a lot of people woke up the same. But as always, go Bucks.